Well, we are wrapping up the Illegal Curve Summer Series with a chat with 2019 fourth rounder Henri Nikkanen, live from Finland. No, I'm just kidding. Live via Finland, but back in Winnipeg now for the summer to get ready for his second full pro season here in Manitoba. So, Henri, first of all, tell the folks how your summer was.
I had a great summer. I mean, lots of practice, lots of time with family. Just enjoyed it all a lot. So had a great summer.
And did you get up to anything fun? I mean, obviously we know your focus is on hockey, but you have to be able to relax a little bit. So what were some of the things you did away from the rink?
I mean, lots of Finnish sauna, first of all. So lots of staying at the cottage and having some time in the sauna and swimming in the lake, and had a 1 week's vacation in Spain as well. So that was the trip we made with my girlfriend. And that's pretty much it. Nothing too special, just hanging out with family and friends.
Now, we know the Finnish sauna is a big experience. And you said how far is your cottage from where you live?
It's only like 20 minutes drive. So it's super close.
Okay.
Every day when we can. So it's nice.
And is it right on the lake? So do you get a chance to have that lake effect as you're sauning?
Yeah, it's a big part of it, you know, going sauna and swimming and back and forth. So big part of it.
That's good. Again, we were talking about this a little before we got started. Here in Winnipeg, we still got some balmy, warm temperatures. I know it's getting a little colder in Finland. It'll be getting colder here in Winnipeg. The temperatures are getting there, so I'm sure you can find some saunas. I know Thermea has some saunas in that's the Nordic spa here in Winnipeg, so I'm sure there's some opportunities for that. But, of course, the focus is on hockey.
Yeah.
But Henri, how soon after a season ends would you start to train again?
I mean, I think I took 3 weeks off probably. And after that, just right back into it. First, starting the summer more on the off-ice side, and then towards the end of the summer, more and more on the ice. And that's...
Now, the big joke here in Winnipeg is that it's Finnipeg because of all the Finnish guys in the organization. So we know Finland's a big place, but when you're training, are you training with any of the Jets or Moose prospects?
Actually, I was meeting with Oskari, so Salminen, during the end of the summer. So we were skating on the same ices, and actually got a couple skates in with Ville as well. So those two guys I was seeing on the ice a couple times.
Well, that's good. And do you feel like that maybe helps you kind of build that camaraderie when you come over here and you're going to be playing? I mean, you're obviously familiar with them anyways, but maybe an additional sort of familiarity with those guys. I mean, Ville did hit you with quite a few passes last year that led to scoring opportunities.
Yeah, I mean, of course it's good. That can be also in the practice back home, so why not? Might as well.
Yeah, and then, you know, now that you've had time to reflect, we always talk to you at the end of the season or at the end of it, you know, your exit interviews, but you're usually just finishing playoffs. You know, it's a kind of a tough time to reflect on the year that was. But now that you've had the summer really to reflect on the season, what was your thoughts on the full season here in Winnipeg?
I mean, first of all, would have for sure liked it to continue a little longer. I mean, that was really close that we would have gotten through from the first round, but unfortunately that didn't happen. But looking at the big picture, I feel like it was a lot of learning, a lot of learning for me, learning all the stuff on the ice and off the ice, how things work out here. And I think looking back to it, it was just a big learning process. And now I feel a lot readier than I was a year ago at this time.
And so if you think about the on-ice element of the game, what was something that was probably the most memorable moment for you last season?
I mean, there's lots, to be honest. Not probably one particular one. If I have to say one, I'd say was the exhibition game I got to play on the training camp. That's for sure. So got to play in front of the home crowd. It was pretty much a full arena here, and got to play with the Jets jersey. So that's for sure the biggest one.
And how incentivizing is that for you as a player? I mean, you knew you were going to be playing with the Moose, but to get that little bit of a taste of playing in front of, you know, 15,000 fans, all chanting, you know, all excited, wearing a Jets jersey. Does that kind of add? I mean, I know you've got a lot of incentive to make that jump to the NHL as part of your career, but does that add something when you have that pregame, you know, under your belt and you kind of get it out of the way?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I think it's it just adds some gas to that fire that you have. So it just gives you more fuel to work in front of your dreams. And, then also just seeing the pace and the way those guys play. It's always different in games than in practice. So it's really good to get those experiences.
Now, you had a bit of an experience with Winnipeg before, because of course you joined the Moose, sorry, at the end of the previous, not this last season, the season prior, and played four games and then in the playoffs. But now that you've had a full year in Winnipeg off the ice, what was maybe something that's caught your eye, maybe something you didn't know about Winnipeg that you came to appreciate and enjoy that you wouldn't have known about, of course, prior to being here?
I mean, the winter here is actually pretty similar than we have back home. So it's nothing great for me. We got the daily life working out really well with my girlfriend here during the season. I just enjoyed every day and just doing the regular daily stuff, like nothing too crazy, just the daily routines. That's what keeps me going a lot.
Mm-hmm. And you know, I mean, you had of course the benefit now, you're telling of your girlfriend being here, but do you think people underestimate, and I asked Daniel Torgerson this the other day, and I've asked some of the other prospects this, do you think people underestimate how difficult it is to make that adjustment? I mean, you're not just coming to a new city, you're coming to a new country, a new culture, and not only are you expected to continue to play hockey at a high level, you have to adjust to all the other elements of life, like living in the city and adjusting to all of those things. So do you think people take that for a little bit for granted? I mean, you were 20 years old, you're 22 now, I believe, so you were 20, 21, 22 throughout the course of this journey here in Winnipeg. That's young, and you're expected to continue to play hockey at a high level and also adjust.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, life is about other things as well, as those 7 years. So you gotta cook some meals, and you gotta live your daily life outside the ring as well. So it's always a process to adapt to a new place and country, especially. But yeah, for sure. I mean,
all right. And what about from training camp of last September to the end of the season? How did you grow as a hockey player?
I feel like I grew into the smaller rink a lot better. Got to learn to play the smaller ice surface. Got to learn to play the high intensity of battling that the hockey is out here. And just the decision making on and off the puck, you have to be a lot faster than back home in Europe. So just all those things. I think I grew on all those areas.
And so one of the things I wanted to ask you about was we had an end of season media availability with we did an end of season roundtable, I should say, with Moose head coach Mark Morrison and a number of players, as well with Daniel Fink and Austin Siragusa. And as we were talking about with Mark Morrison, I asked him about Jets prospects who, you know, he took note of. He mentioned your name. He said you're a guy who definitely, especially towards Christmas, was really trending up. The one thing he said was he noticed that the grind of the season kind of got you a little bit. So I guess the question I have for you from that is, well, one, what does it mean to you when you hear that your coach puts your name out as a player that he took note of? But also, how do you in this summer kind of plan to prepare yourself better for that grind now that you kind of experienced it one time?
Well, I mean, first of all, it's a big thing to hear that. It's great thing to hear your coach say that. And I felt the same way. Absolutely. We had a discussion about it, actually, that towards the Christmas, especially the start of the season, I felt like I was getting better and better, and my game was getting better all the time. Then I don't know if it was all the games or everything, but I just felt like I had a kind of a tough stretch there in the middle of the spring. And I mean, looking back to it, I feel like I just need to be in top conditioning level that I need to be on my best on that side. I need to keep a good hold of the stuff off the ice as well. I need to be sleeping well enough and well enough. Looking after that recovery a lot to kind of stay fresh throughout the whole year. So that's the big thing for this season.
And now in terms of games played, like the your final game, your final season in Finland and your first season here in North America wasn't a significant difference. So do you think Do you think it was the travel? Do you think that kind of, or do you think it's just that you guys, the frequency of the games, because in terms of the number of games played, it was pretty close to what you did, I think, in your final season in Finland.
Yeah, I mean, it was probably just that stretch that is always here in AHL in the spring, that there's lots of weeks with three, four games a week. So, of course, it's, I mean, to be able to adapt and, I mean, being one year older and 1 year smarter and seeing that first, I'm sure that it's going to be a lot easier this year.
Well, playing defensively responsible isn't very fun, I don't think. I mean, most guys want to score goals, but you seem to excel at it. I remember your first development camp after you got drafted, so this would have been 2019. We were talking to you, and someone asked you who you modeled your game after, and you said the Minnesota Wild captain, Miku Koivu. And, you know, again, a lot of guys don't necessarily say, hey, I want to be a defensively responsible forward, but you see that as your path. So what was it from a young age, or maybe it was later in your career, that you saw that as a way to kind of get to the next level and continue to advance your career?
I mean, I feel like that's always been a side of my game I felt pretty comfortable with. Like you said, all guys don't see it as fun, but I actually take a huge pride in it. I feel like it's a huge part of the team game. You know, 20 guys can't be scoring goals all the time. Somebody needs to be doing something else as well. And of course, I wanna be playing offensive well as well. But yeah, the defensive side is a big thing for me, and I've just been trying to keep building that up. And then when you're defensively responsible as a centerman, especially, there's easy to build stuff on top of that, because then the coaches can trust you on different kinds of situations. So yeah, I feel like it's a big part of my game.
Well, and we saw that work with David Gustafson, who was down here with the Moose, of course, when after he got drafted by the Jets in 2018, and he was very defensively responsible, played center, of course, and when he made that jump up to the NHL, continued to get that responsibility of penalty kill. And that's one thing, you know, we've heard Rick Bonus say, you know, the Jets head coach, he'll say, you can't just do one thing. You have to have multiple skill sets. So from your perspective, I guess that obviously, again, gives you more incentive, because look, the penalty kill for the Moose was top five for a long time in the season. I know you guys finished top 10 because you had a lot of injuries, but it seemed like that's something that you take a lot of pride in. Again, not something that's very rewarding necessarily. You don't get a goal, you don't get an assist, you don't get to raise your arms, but you know, there is a reward, there's a value to achieving, you know, a good successful penalty kill.
Yeah, for sure. There's like I said, there's a lot of other stuff, well, scoring goals and making points. So yeah, it's a huge thing towards winning culture in the hockey thing.
For sure. So how much, speaking of winning culture and that idea, and one of the things that Mark Morrison's talked about is how important playoffs are. And he says that, you know, for every round of playoffs, it's like, I can't remember how many games he's equated it to, but he says it's a huge learning experience. So from your perspective, how much of a difference did you notice between the regular season? And I know you played postseason the previous year as well with the Moose, but what was your takeaways from the difference between the regular season and the playoffs?
I mean, the intensity always jumps a level higher, that's for sure. And everybody battling that little extra bit more than in the regular season games. So again, that's one of those things that you just need to kind of experience. Like you can talk about it, you can watch video, but the best way to experience is it, to get into those situations. And that's the way to learn and get better in those. But I mean, I think there's not a single guy who plays hockey and doesn't love play of hockey. It's just, it's why we do this. It's all it's about in the end. So yeah, those are some great games, that's for sure.
Well, you know, speaking of playoff hockey, at the same time you guys were doing battle with the Milwaukee Admirals, the Jets were doing battle with the Vegas Golden Knights, and I know a lot of the Moose guys would come and watch the Jets. And so what were your takeaways from NHL playoff hockey and the whiteout itself? Because again, that's an experience that, and you can see it on TV, but until you're in that building, it's completely different.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, seeing it first time, it was pretty nuts. All the streets packed with people, and the feeling around the downtown, it was crazy. And I mean, that's that's a culture this city has built, and hopefully it'll stay like that forever and even get better, because it's something all players for sure.
Well, one of the things we've talked about, and I've asked you about previously, but I'm curious to know your take after, again, a full season, was the idea of inclusivity and everybody's voice mattering in this Moose locker room. And we hear that. And again, I really just focus on the Jets and the Moose. I can't speak to what other team happens in other cities, really. But it just seems like with this Moose group, it doesn't matter if you're Jimmy Olinie, the captain, or you're Henry Nikkanen, you know, a second year, going into your second year pro here in North America, everybody has a voice. So what do you think how does it make you feel knowing that you do have that voice if you want to speak up? Like Daniel Torgeson told me yesterday, he doesn't necessarily the most vocal guy, but he knew if he wanted to say something, he could.
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge thing for the guys, that's for sure, to being able to be more of yourself around the locker room and like actually completely you're like yourself. You don't have to be anything else in that locker room. So it's a great thing to have, and it's a thing to value a lot. That's for sure, because it makes the daily life around the team and just the atmosphere and all that so much better.
So when the team held their exit meetings with you, what was kind of the area that they wanted you to go back to Finland and work on or focus on?
I mean, just get stronger, get better moving with my feet, get the endurance pumped up so I can work through the whole season. And those stuff I've been working on, and I think I've gotten better at all those areas.
So is that, do they say to you, okay, Henry, these are the areas we want you to work on, here's the plan? Or do they say, you go back and you talk to your trainers in Finland and you say, this is what I want to do, and then it's on them to kind of get you to that next level? Even though it's you who have to do the work, of course.
Yeah, I mean, of course they offer you help if you ask, but mostly at home, practicing with the trainers that you're familiar with during a lot of years already. So those guys know you well, and they hear what you need. They already know kind of what you need to be doing in a day to get better in those areas. So yeah, just getting back to work at home, basically.
And do you hear from the team quite a bit during the summer, or do they just kind of touch base, like from Jimmy Roy, Mike Keane, that sort of thing?
Oh yeah, mostly those guys just touch base. Nothing crazy or too much. Just more touching base towards the season closing in.
Okay, and so speaking of the season closing in, are you the type of player who sets goals for yourself? And you don't have to lay out what those goals are for us, but do you goal set ahead of each season for yourself?
I mean, yeah, I don't like to set like just one big goal getting into the NFL. I feel like there's a lot of steps to be taken on the way there, and you kind of need to think about what those steps need to be, and then work towards those and get to them one by one.
Well, okay, so you mentioned getting to the NHL. How much of that is on your mind? Do you think about it at all? I mean, it would seem natural that a player would say, that's my goal. So do you think about making your NHL debut, or do you try and put that out of your mind and just focus on what's in front of you?
Well, in the daily work I do and in the daily practice, that's not the thing I think about. I think that as long as I do my work as well as I can, and I keep getting better day, I think that opportunity will come one day. It's just about putting myself through the work I need.
Well, so I guess, you've touched on it a little bit, but what would you say your mindset is going into training camp this upcoming season, now that you have one under your belt?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I feel a lot more comfortable around here. I'll be battling for the spots like all the other guys, and we'll just see where it takes me, putting it all out there.
Well, okay, that leads me right into my final question, which is about battling with the other guys, because there is a ton of young prospects, especially at the forward group. And that's a good thing and it's a bad thing, of course, because it's a bad thing because you guys are all competing for the same spot, which, again, I always find interesting, because you're all, like, I talked to Jeff Mallott last week and he said, you know, if Daniel Torgeson gets the NHL, it's because Henry Nikkanen was there alongside him. Same for Jeff Mallott, same for Brad Lambert. You guys are all helping each other get to that spot, even though there are a limited number of spots. So I'm going to do a two-parter here. First of all, how is it from your perspective, that mindset of you want to help Daniel Torgeson, even if you means like Henry Nikkanen also wants that spot. So how do you guys help each other, even though you're competing for potentially one spot?
Well, I mean, every practice we have time after the skates and we do stuff together, just doing stuff like that, kind of pushing each other. It's when you push your teammates towards their goals, they'll keep pushing you, and just helps everyone. So that's how I see it, and I think that's the way to get to those goals as well. Just kind of you need that competition, and you need that battling between guys. If you're just battling by yourself, it's not going to get you as far as battling with other guys that are as talented and as good as you are. So,
well, and that will go into my next part of the question, which is that idea of how much young talent there is going to be on this potentially Moose team, if you are on the Moose, with the guys, additions of Brad Lambert and Chaz Lucius, who obviously were on the team for a bit last year and then went back down to junior. And then there's a number of other guys on, obviously Nikita Chibrikov, Danny Zhilkin, yourself, Daniel Torgeson. There's a number of talented players. And, you know, for years with this Moose club, we always talked about the defense, and I'm not going to list all the defensemen, but I'll give you two, Ville Heinola and Tyrell Bauer. Very different defensemen, but Tyrell says he can learn from Ville, and Ville can maybe learn from Tyrell, although I don't know if Ville's going to drop the gloves and fight like Tyrell, but they can learn things from each other. So from your perspective, are there things that you, as a defensively responsible forward, look at like Brad Lambert and say, or Chaz Lucian, say, hey, I can pick something up from those guys that's not necessarily in my toolbox, but I'd like to add that?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, two-way street. From the talented guys from the offensive side, and like, for sure, help guys like Brad a little bit on the side as well. So that's the other part of pushing each other. Also try and learn from each other and help each other that way.
All right. Well, thank you, Henry. We appreciate you joining us here on the Illegal Curve Summer Series. We'll be seeing you at training camp. Well, I think you got the Young Stars coming up. I saw your name was on the roster, so that starts next week. But we'll be seeing you very soon sometime at the Hockey for All Center.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to this broadcast from Illegal Curve Hockey. For more great Illegal Curve content, subscribe to the Illegal Curve YouTube channel, follow at Illegal Curve on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and visit your online home for hockey in Winnipeg, illegalcurve.com.